I love the busyness of this service. But now, exactly, Susan. Now we're mostly, except for a few little bitties, we're mostly in our adult space where we can have a different kind of conversation. This month, the Soul Matters Guide asks us what it means to be a people of expectation. And the guide, does anybody read it online? Okay, two or three of you. The guide starts with this prayer that sets the stage for how they want to ask this question. A prayer by Michael Lunick. God, give us rain when we expect sun. Give us music when we expect trouble. Give us tears when we expect breakfast. Give us dreams when we expect a storm. Give us a stray dog when we expect congratulations. God, play with us. Turn us sideways and around. And the guide then goes on to and asks if there are moments when letting the situation take hold of us is good for the soul. That sometimes holding too tightly to our desired expectations leaves us blind. And sometimes getting what we expect leads to expecting to always get what we want. Sometimes the most important question is not, are you ready to take control of the reality in front of you? But instead, are you willing to let go of expectations and be led into the unknown? Another way to ask this is, do you trust? Do you have faith that this wildly unpredictable life of ours won't lead you astray? When your expectations get turned on their head, do you see it as a threat? Or are you willing to lean in? When that stray dog messes up your big congratulatory day, are you willing to follow where it wants you to go? Or is your first instinct to put it down? The guidebook then says, please, please don't put it down. Turning life on its head, that is the message of Michael Lunick's prayer, says the guidebook. That's what he's praying for, and that's what he wants us to pray for. Pray for those stray dogs and tears at breakfast. Pray dearly for life to send you its blessed disruptions. Pray that this life will lead you into the land of crushed expectations, into that wonderfully sacred land inhabited by the holy angels of perhaps, maybe, maybe not. What if? I wonder what else. And I wonder if there is another way. And pray for all this not because disruption is good for us or because we all need that much-needed dose of humility, but because disruption signals that we're finally able to trust, that we finally decided that it's okay to put our preferred expectations aside because, strange or scary as the unknown is, we trust, we know, that unknown will not lead us astray. So they conclude, yes, this month, bring on those unruly dogs and unpredictable tears. Make our music wilder than we want. And make us eventually want it to be that wild. Play with us indeed. Turn us sideways and around, and lead us unexpectedly on. Here ends the guidebook's message. Stray dogs on our big congratulatory day. How many of you want that? It's your big day. You finally got that award or that recognition, and here comes that stray dog. Woohoo! Well, it may come as a surprise to you, but I'm a bit controlled in my life. I like a nice, orderly life. I expect the expected. Embrace of the unexpected is not something that comes easily. It's something that I had to learn. And the first time that I can remember experiencing that stray dog on my congratulatory day, I was a little less than thrilled. During my second year of seminary, the winter semester, the fall semester, ended with no less than 13 major projects due in 10 days. I thought my head was going to explode. But my partner at the time made me the special calendar, kind of like an Advent calendar, right? So after each completed assignment, I could open a little window. But instead of candy, it was a poem or a song or a promise of a hug or a special outing, some very sweet celebratory moment, right? It was wonderful. And I looked forward to opening every window when I finished that assignment, eagerly anticipating, expecting something delightful. But the seventh window, see, that represented the hardest task, the one that was the most grueling, the one I didn't think I would actually do, the one that was most painful to complete. And when I got to the calendar, I was so excited because I just knew that whatever was behind that window would match the expectations for the pain I'd just suffered. I knew it. But instead, it was a cute little known scientific fact about fish pee. Yeah, fish pee. I was crushed. And the sad part is I didn't handle it well. I didn't follow that stray dog, that fish pee, on my congratulatory day. Instead, I wanted that dog put down. I got upset. I actually cried. I'm so embarrassed. It was a low, low moment for me because my expectations were crushed and I couldn't follow the moment. Instead of leaning in, I lashed out. And I look back now ashamed at how I responded and saddened by the younger me's inability to embrace the unexpected. But unfortunately, true confessions moment, that's not the only such of those moments in my younger life. This has been a hard lesson for me. Embrace of unexpected grace is a learned experience. And because I'm a little slow about growth sometimes, I'll be honest, a little stubborn, you might say, it took that proverbial 2x4 between the eyes, that huge in-your-face, no way around it kind of experience before I learned to accept the unaccepted, much less to lean in or embrace it. But I found that every time I respond to the unexpected with openness, it has been a grace-filled experience. And it really comes down to choice. How am I going to respond? Defensively, angrily, hurt, disappointed, and protective of my hopes and expectations? Or openly trusting, hoping, believing that the unexpected path will lead somewhere beautiful? A song of my youth, which was in the guidebook, so this is connected. A song of my youth, the chorus reads, "Standing on the watershed, staring at the fork in the road, you can stand there and agonize till your agony's your heaviest load." I'm not singing for you because I can't. My daughter has that gift. You'll never fly as the crow flies. Get used to the country mile when you're learning to face the path at your pace. Every choice is worth your while. Some of you may recognize that song. Does anyone? Okay. That song by the Indigo Girls was one of the key songs of my youth. And I fancied my little 20-year-old self, that I understood it as I sang at the top of my lungs driving down all those country roads. But what I did not yet understand, and what I have to remind myself constantly when I get distracted still by the busyness of life, and that disruptions and disappointed expectations can be grace-filled moments if I open myself to them. There are big, life-changing, grace-filled moments. And then there are those little ones that seem insignificant, but can be just as life-changing. I fight traffic on 26 four times every day. Yes, you can pity me now. Kevin goes to school in West Asheville, and I work in the southernmost part of Henderson County. About 6 weeks ago, I was sitting there, again, on a Friday afternoon, at a dead standstill, praying I'd make it to after school by the allotted appointed time, despite having left work early to allow for the fun. And in my frustration at sitting there yet again, I made a seemingly meaningless post about Friday 26 fun. And within minutes, one of my neighbors, who is a Western North Carolina native and drives for a living, posted with a back road country mile shortcut. But in my frustration, I thanked him dismissively. And I explained that I was actually heading to West Asheville to get Kevin, and then, so I couldn't really take his advice, but thanks so much. And I sat there for another 45 minutes. But then a few weeks later, I was stuck yet again. But this time, I wasn't trying to get to West Asheville. She had a play date. Blessings. So I was going home. So I found Mike's post. And I read the instructions, and I followed them. Grace. It was shorter, his route, than 26. Far more lovely. I arrived at my destination in a timely manner, and I got to enjoy that country mile. I saw sights I had not seen. I avoided all those nasty trucks. And in my little Prius, I got better gas mileage than I do on 26. So many blessings. So much grace. I just had to remind myself to be open to it, even that little bit. My autopilot, years later, is still, no thanks. I don't want that gift. It is still a personal spiritual discipline to open myself to the unexpected and welcome the gifts it can bring. And because it is a personal spiritual discipline to open myself to those moments of unexpected grace, I practice. It may not sound like it, but I do. I practice, and I practice, and I practice. Because I still haven't learned it yet, but I practice. And my practice, what I do, I call my blessing practice. And it is truly a practice of blessing others. Blessing them at those times of annoyance, irritation, frustration, and stress. Right? So in traffic, when that car pulls in front of me and cuts me off and comes to a standstill, you know the one. I consciously make a choice to interrupt my ego inclination to say some choice words and get angry or annoyed. Instead, if I'm practicing, I open myself up to that driver as a human with inherent worth and dignity, as a child of God, as a reflection of divinity, as part of the same spirit and universe as me. And I bless them. The practice has a couple of things that it does for me. It interrupts my natural irritation or annoyance. It consciously refocuses my awareness on the oneness of life, the interdependent web, the blessing of each of us. And then it does offer a blessing for their life and their journey. And then I close those moments when I'm practicing with a prayer of gratitude for the opportunity. For the opportunity to call myself out of my distracted monkey mind and back to the presence, centering again in that oneness and interconnectedness of life. So when my puppy chews my favorite shoes, I bless her. When at work there is yet another crisis or distraction, I breathe. And then I center myself in that life essence of that other person, and I bless them. When my almost tween practices her eye rolling and tone that conveys disdain for my utter stupidity, I have to really actively employ this practice. This conscious practice of interrupting my natural ego inclination. My blessing practice interrupts my ego. It calls me back to my soul and allows me to embrace those moments of unexpected grace. It is a practice. I offer a prayer for the gift of the irritation because it was the reminder I needed at that moment. And now I try and welcome those moments of irritation as opportunities. It's that choice to change my thinking. Welcome them as gifts of opportunity to refocus my energy, recenter myself, and reconnect with life and the life force, the spirit of life and love, the oneness of the universe. It's a little backwards, maybe, seeing that traffic person or the puppy shoes or the eye rolling or the crisis as a gift, but it helps me stay open to those unexpected moments of grace. But I have not yet. I haven't totally embraced that eye-rolling moment. Just it's a gift for me right now that I haven't run screaming from the room, so I do invite your prayers to that, because it's just going to get worse from what I hear. Expectations of unexpected grace. Not just expecting the unexpected, but recognizing that in this season of miracles, the miracles of the return of the light, that oil that somehow miraculously lasted 8 days, the birth of a babe whose lessons and teachings were absolute and unbounded love. Those miracles were not only unexpected, they were grace-filled moments. But I've used that word several times this morning. So now's the theology piece. What is grace? Right? Most of the schisms in the Christian church are around the definition of grace. So you got the Eastern Orthodox versus the Catholic versus the Protestant, the Lutherans versus the Calvins, and I could go on. They're all arguments about grace. And here I am tossing it around kind of cavalierly. The dictionary defines grace, and I mean like Webster's, as the unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration and sanctification. The modern Catholic dictionary defines grace as the condescension or benevolence of God, benevolence shown by God toward the human race. The new dictionary of theology claims grace is the spontaneous gift from God to humans, generous, free, and totally unexpected and undeserved. Now, I know y'all noticed the theology embedded in every one of those definitions, right? Theological concepts that we UUs have rejected. Grace is undeserved. Undeserved because we humans are fallen and utterly depraved. not so much. Humans must be sanctified, raised up, because we are fallen and utterly depraved. Grace is condescension or patronizing superiority and disdain, because God is so much greater than we lowly, sinful humans. But none of those definitions make sense to us, right? Humans are not fallen or utterly sinful. We are blessed reflections of divinity. God is not a supernatural being who can patronize or condescend. God, or the mysterious spirit of life and love beyond all knowing, is not separate from, but rather intrinsically part of each of us. So in contrast to those definitions of grace, we understand grace. This is my working definition. We understand grace to be the bounty, beauty, generosity, and love inherent in the universe, which we do not earn, but comes to us naturally as expressions of our divine humanity, and which we can never lose. It is not conditional in any way. It is the eternal, unending, unbounding gift of the universe, of the spirit of life and love to us through the oneness of creation manifesting in all of life. It's beauty. It's that sunset, the music, the softness of a baby's skin. It's generosity. The generosity of this planet that creates perfect conditions for our life. The trees and the carbon dioxide, the ocean temperature that creates the perfect climate. The bounty of our planet with plants to feed us just so. And not just us, but all of animal life. And if you study the miraculous dimensions of all of that, the bounty and the love between and among us when we are very present to it. The oneness, the beauty, bounty, generosity, and love and oneness surround us, fill us, and if we awake to them, call us out of our egos. Grace surrounds us, fills us, and calls of us out of our egos and into our souls. Grace is the means by which life reminds us and connects us to that something more. That something more for which our souls yearn. Grace as love, as beauty, as bounty, as generosity, opens the ears of our ears and the eyes of our eyes to that oneness of creation, that interdependent web where you and I are one. It is the clue, the hint, the taste, the sense of that mysterious spirit of life and love that echoes through our deepest being, beckoning to us, ever beckoning, to step beyond our ego selves into life itself. To step beyond our ego selves into that interdependent web of life that connects us, each to all. When we are open to and lean into those moments of disruption, lean into that unexpected, we can and do experience grace. That beauty, bounty, generosity, and love of the universe. In my life, I've told you some of the bad moments, but sometimes I am open. When insomnia and a snoring seatmate on a train can lead to a 2-hour life-changing conversation and a new soul friend. When a wrong turn can lead to the most amazing views. When a fallen tree can lead to that sweet gift of generosity. When crazy puppy energy can call us out of our boring adulthood and into the frivolity of laughter and play. When showing up at the wrong restaurant for your breakfast meeting can lead to a wonderful but unexpected discussion. When the Friday mess on 26 can lead to a new country mile and a myriad of blessings. When a struggle to rededicate the temple can lead to 8 days of blessing. And when the birth of a child in lowly circumstances can bring a message of peace and hope and profound love to the world. What are your moments, your experiences of disruption that have brought you unexpected grace when you've leaned in? This season, may we make the choice to welcome grace by opening ourselves and leaning into the disruptions, welcoming the unexpected and embracing that unexpected grace. In this season of ritual and miracle, may our meaning-making be aware of and attentive to both the deeply expected tradition, because that is this season, and the miracles of unexpected grace. May we make room in our hearts for that unexpected grace. May we welcome those moments for the blessings they can be. And may the blessings remind us to awaken to the mystery, the miracles, the magic of this season and this life. So may it be. Amen.